You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast.
With Al and Brian.
Fortnite's Web Zone, No Huddle Podcast. We're part of the Odyssey Network. I'm Al. He is Brian. We got the 49ers draft in the books. Lot to review on it. I'll tell you what, Brian. This is not the way I thought this draft would go. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing by any stretch of the imagination. I thought it was unorthodox, but I thought it was good. And we'll break down why I think that is. But the last time I talked to you, you were a little iffy. Ricky Purcell pick. Did
Slick
you come
Rick,
around
baby.
On it at all? I mean, Slick. Because these picks happen and you react to it and you say, okay, you know, I don't know about that or I didn't see that coming. And there's always the processing. And we have to come out and talk about it right away. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of processing as we're talking live. But as you get some time to think about it, right, your opinions can change. You do some research. Sort of like, what the fuck? Or are you feeling better? Where are you?
I actually feel a lot better about it. I would say that for me, that initial reaction was a couple things. One, there was that weird thing where on Twitter, it was before the pick was announced on TV, it was Cooper DeJean. There were a lot of people, including Mike Silver, who was like, Cooper DeJean is the pick. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, I can wrap my brain around that. Like, that makes sense. One of the things I loved was Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers. His nickname for Cooper DeJean was Palin Ramsey, which I thought was really was really clever and really good. And the reason why I was like, well, that makes sense is because, again, we had Mike Silver on. He talked a lot about Brandon Staley and the influence he was going to have on this defense. And one of the big positions for a Brandon Staley defense is that star position, where it's kind of like a hybrid defensive back, where, you know, you're looking for kind of a bigger guy that you can just, he's kind of a movable chess piece, right? And when he was with the Rams, that was Jalen Ramsey. And then when he was with the Chargers, that was the safety.
Derwin James.
Derwin James, thank you. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, again, if that is a position that they employ in this defense. I don't know who that will be right now, but that made sense. And then I was bummed because, you know, I had made a declaration on Twitter earlier that day. I said two things that I'm confident in is, one, Brandon Ayuk will not get traded, and he did not. And so I was right there. And the second one was that AD Mitchell was going to be a 49er. And I had heard some rumblings that AD Mitchell was a guy that Kyle Shanahan really, really liked. And so I thought, hey, A.D. Mitchell's there. You know, Cooper DeJean is there. Johnny Newton is there, a guy that we had drafted twice in mock drafts. And then, you know, all of a sudden it's like, wait, no, it's Ricky Pearsall. And I'd seen Ricky Pearsall's name, and it was always a second round name. In fact, Eric Crocker of Locked On 49ers with Brian Peacock had Ricky Pearsall as the pick at 63, a guy that he liked, but Didn't think that they were going to go at 31. So,
sure.
You know, it was for me, it was just kind of like confusion. Like, I thought it was Cooper DeJean. There's all these other guys that you know, I thought were better fits. But then I actually did a little bit of research into Ricky Pearsall, and I really, really liked the pick. And it fits. And this pick really fits a theme in this draft that we'll get to in a little bit. But very, very athletic. A route technician, very similar to Brandon Ayuk, might even be a little bit better than Brandon Ayuk, or at least better than Brandon Ayuk was coming out of college. They played on the same Arizona State team, which I think is interesting. In fact, Brandon Ayuk, you know, texted Lynch and Shanahan and was like, not going to lie, fire pick. And I was like, okay,
yeah,
you know, Brandon Ayuk is high on this guy. Steve Smith, who I respect as an analyst and as a, just a, an overall badass wide receiver, loves Ricky Pearsall. Brian Baldinger had him as his fourth or fifth best wide receiver. So
yeah, he called him a bigger, faster Julian Edelman.
Exactly. I believe it was either Dane Brugler or Greg Cosell. Cosell is high on the pick as well, which again, another guy I respect a lot. But one of those two called him Velcro hands, which I'm like, that's again fantastic.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it fits with, and like I said, there's I sense a theme in this draft class. And you know, we'll get there in a little bit, but I think it fits this theme that we're gonna see. And I think this is a Brock Purdy pick. I think this is a pick for a quarterback who is, his superpower is anticipation, and you need to be where he thinks you're going to be. And in order to be there, you've got to be a tremendous route runner. And that's what Ricky Pearsall is. And then on top of that, when you look at really how the offense faltered in the Super Bowl, it was once the Chiefs went to press man in the second half and Shanahan didn't really shift his game plan. It was still Debo heavy. Debo could not get open. He just couldn't. Right. Brandon Ayuk was getting open, but he wasn't the read in those progressions, right? It was a Debo-centric, or at least it seemed that way, Debo-centric game plan. And so, you know, Ayuk wasn't getting the ball in the second half. And that's really, to me, it's like Kyle Shanahan sat and reflected on that loss and said, okay, here's where we need to evolve. And where we need to evolve is we need to be able to beat press man. And right now we don't have the wide receiver core to do it. Ricky Pearsall is the first step in that.
And he's also a good run blocker, which fits right with what the Niners do and what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. And yeah, that theme for me too is, yeah, I thought the same. They're building around Purdy and they're recognizing a weakness that they have, even though they have all these great players. Mm-hmm. When they have to get a drop back passing offense, they tend to struggle. So they got guys who can separate. Ricky Pearsall is a guy who can separate. He's a guy who has great hands. And like you said, he fits in right with Brock Purdy in terms of the anticipation. So now they're starting to, whereas you can argue, not that it's laughable now when we say this, but Danny Gray was a Trey Lance pick, right? He was fast, who can get downfield.
Right.
It seems comical now that we would even care about either of those names, but it was still the theme. We're going to build around where our quarterback does well. And they're doing it now, which I would assume is going to have much better results. But yes. Same thing. So they get this guy, really good route runner. And again, if the Niners feel he was the best receiver at that point for them, great. God bless you. Because what I wanted them, I said this numerous times on the show, I wanted them to get at least two receivers in this draft. This was a great draft at wide receiver and at tackle. We got one out of the two. But I really wanted them to get a couple receivers because you're not going to have Debo next year, 2025. Right. Juwan Jennings, we all like him. What a player, what a clutch player, but he's another guy who doesn't really separate. And he's probably going to get and want more money than you're going to want to pay him. Mm-hmm. So now you have Pearsall, you have Cowing, who we'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. And Ayuk, who we assume now is going to, their focus is going to be there to extend him. And it's a different kind of receiver core. It's also a smaller receiver core because Pearsall is only not even 6 foot. And what's Cowing like?
Oh, Pearsall's 6'1".
Like that. I think he was 5'11 and three. Is he? I read 5'11 and three quarters, but. I'm also 5'11 and three quarters and tell people I'm like 6'6", so there's that.
I love it.
With shoes on, I'm absolutely 6 feet tall. So
100%.
Is he? I got to look that up now. I thought he was 5'11". Anyway, but still, This is a good pick. They're building around Purdy. I like that they brought in these receivers. One of the reasons the Niners are so good, Brian, is because we have these playmakers, right? Like these Avengers. And I think that this is a step towards that. I will say this as we move on.
Yeah, Brugler has him listed as 6'1", 190 in the Beast draft guide.
Oh, okay. Those are also my measurables. 6'1", 190. Not 5'11", and 178 at all. So what am I talking about? Oh, so everybody's like, we look at this draft and we're like, yeah, we like these guys coming in. I will say this as Niners fans, two Niners fans. When you go in the playoffs and make the NFC Championship game 4 out of 5 years, 3 years in a row, make the Super Bowl, you have special people on your team. You just don't replace those players. So as these guys start to move away and we get to the new regime, it's not saying the new regime isn't going to be really good. It's not saying the new regime can't win a Super Bowl or do the same thing. Odds are, I don't know if they're going to be as special as these other guys, but we'll get there. That's for another day. We got a lot of weeks and months coming up where we don't have much to talk about. So we'll talk about that another time. But yeah, overall, took me a little while to adjust to the surprise, but I like it too, man. I agree with you. I think it's a good pick. I think he's going to make an impact this year. And I think next year, everybody's saying this guy, this is an 80, 90 catch guy. And that's great. If he's a safety valve for Purdy and can make some plays, and I think it's a good pick. I'm happy with it. And I think that's definitely one person I can mark down as, I anticipate this guy being a starter. And maybe we can see how many starters we think we're going to get out of this draft by the time we get through it.
Well, and I think for me, initially, right? And then for others as well, as the night went on and even into the next day, the people that weren't really thrilled with the pick, one of the things that people kept saying was, it's a reach or whatever, You could have had him in the second round. You could have traded back. Well, here's the thing. You got to have two to tango, right? You got to have somebody to trade back with, right? If somebody wasn't trying to come up to get that pick, how are you going to trade back? So we have no idea if they were getting calls to trade back or anything like that. So that's one. Two, if you wanted them to wait till the second round, Arif Hassan, who covers the NFL, puts together what's called his consensus big board. He takes 101 different big boards and he puts them in, and then players are ranked based on where they are on all these different big boards, right? And so it's kind of like a practice in the wisdom of crowds, right? And on Arif's, on the consensus big board, Ricky Pearsall was at 48. Okay. Mm-hmm. 49ers picked at 31, and then they weren't picking again till 63. There was zero chance that Ricky Pearsall was going to be on the board at their pick at 63. And if 100%. They had if they were convicted that with all the wide receivers that had gone already and the wide receivers that were left, if Ricky Pearsall was the one that topped their list, and obviously he was because that's the pick, then you can't wait. You can't wait. He's going to be gone. And could you have traded up in the second round? Maybe, but again, that's a crapshoot. If you like a player, and again, we're talking about a variance of 17 picks when it comes to where he was drafted versus the consensus big board, 48 versus 31. That's not a reach. I mean, it might be a slight reach, but not really. And again, you talk to you hear how people talk about Ricky Pearsall and you go, okay, I understand this pick. And one of the other themes that I thought was interesting is, and one of the reasons why I was a little taken aback at first is Ricky Pearsall is going to be 24 years old when the season starts. That's old for a rookie. But you also got to understand that a lot of these players are old for the draft because of COVID, right? They have redshirt years, they had COVID years, right?
That was a theme across the board, I thought. Yeah, there were
across the board. Sure. But specifically with the 49ers, Pearsall, Green, Pooney, Mustafa, Cowing, Garendo, all of them, right? Kingston and Bethune, those were their 8 picks. Mm-hmm. All of them are 23 or older. And to me, you could almost argue that is the Trey Lance effect, right? Trey Lance played one season in college and came to the NFL and they were like, oh shit, this guy is so green and he's not even remotely close to being ready. Now that's on them, right? Like that's a different discussion altogether. But the other thing you got to think about is, again, there's a difference between drafting for the future and sacrificing the now, right? And they didn't do that. They drafted for the future, but also drafted for now. These are players that are going to come in ready to start day one. They've Pearsall, SEC and Pac-12, Renardo Green, the ACC, Dominic Pooney, the Big 12, Malik Mustafa. Malik, by the way, is how you pronounce that name. It's not Malik. I learned that.
Oh, it's not Malik.
Yeah, I learned that. Guy Haberman had a Wake Forest journalist on, and it's Malik. ACC, Jacob Cowing, Pac-12, Isaac Garendo, Big 12, and then the ACC. Jarrett Kingston, Pac-12, Tatum Bethune, ACC. All Power 5 conferences, all players that have played 30-plus games in a Power 5 conference. Like, these are veteran level rookies, if you want to think of it that way.
Yeah.
And that also was what I think Purdy was the effect, other thing.
Right. Purdy was a exactly. guy who came in, you also know, the Brock Purdy antithesis yep. of Lance, yep. you know?
Exactly.
And I think too, exactly. like you mentioned, so, well, first of all, after Purcell was picked, there was a run on receivers. So yep. you know, Keon Coleman, McConkie, Polk, Leggett, all these guys went right after him. So that run was ready to happen. Also, where did the Niners draft Deebo Samuel? 34th? In the second, he was like the second or third pick in the second round, wasn't he?
Yes. Something yeah, because like they were, they, yeah. So it would have been 34 because they had the second pick. So yeah, 34.
So if they had taken him 20th that year, would anybody give a shit at this point? If right. they were like, oh, the Niners reached for Deebo Samuel 5 years later, would be great. Okay. The guy had an all pro season. He's, you know, he's a one of one in terms of what he can do. Who mm-hmm. gives a shit if they took him at 20 or 34? Could be the right. same thing with Purcell. If he catches 80 balls next year, who cares if they right. took him at 31 or 63 or 31, or they traded up to in the 50s or whatever. So I think, yeah, I think all that's a little bit overrated if he's the right guy. Time will tell, but we'll see on that.
The other thing that I was going to say, the last thing about Pearsall is his relative athletic score, which I can't remember the gentleman's name, but Math Bomb is his Twitter handle. But he puts together these relative athletic scores, which is just an amalgamation of all the testing scores, including like height, weight, 40 shuttle time, like all of that stuff. His relative athletic score was 9.9, which initially after the combine it was 9.96 because he didn't do the bench press. His bench press numbers actually brought his score down a little bit, but he is 9.9, which is 32nd out of 3,121 wide receivers from 1987 to 2024. This guy is very, very athletic, and he's an explosive athlete. And you can see it in the way that he plays. You can see it in the way that he runs routes. He's just, I think he's an exciting player, and I think he's going to have an excellent career here. And I think it's going to be him and Ayuk in 2025 and beyond. And I think they're going to feast off each other. And I'm excited about it.
Agree.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Now, what I think the most polarizing pick was, and the pick that he's going to have to prove some stuff to me, because again, I'm not going to pretend I sit and watch all these Florida State games and I'm overly familiar with everything.
Tatum Bethune.
but he was Green was a
Renardo Green
reach from what a lot of people did in the fourth round. And I think in watching him, it seems like he plays very physical. I worry at this level that he's going to get called for a lot of holding penalties. He seems to use his hands a lot. Now, look, the Niners certainly know more than I do. But the other thing that was a little bit curious about this to me, so the Niners traded back one spot with the Chiefs, right, for this? And
yeah,
two things happened here that had me a little bit like, the first was that a player they really liked, Roger Rosengarten, was taken by the Ravens, who draft really fucking well all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the Niners were hoping he was going to fall to them. I don't know if they had no interest in him. I saw that and I'm like, why didn't you trade up a couple spots? Mm-hmm. Why that dude is there? And I thought as it was falling, okay, all right, it's looking this way, right? They're going to take Rosengarten. And then when they didn't, I was kind of pissed about that. And then they trade back, and obviously they had no interest in Kingsley Sumatea at all. Who they literally traded out of that pick so the Chiefs can take him. And note to NFL teams, please stop trading with the Chiefs. Please. Even if it helps, just don't. Just hang up the phone. Please.
Yeah.
Please. But they trade.
Especially if they're beating you.
Right. Like the Bills and the Niners, you're the two teams, maybe you don't trade with them.
Right.
Just, you know. So you have to look at it. If these two guys are starting right tackles for the next 10 years, and they might be because they went to really good franchises to know what they're doing, and the Niners reached on a corner in Renardo Green, who's, you know, I don't know, a decent nickel guy, or he's just not very good. Circle that pick for a long time, but we don't know that. And again, everything right now, I say benefit of the doubt because this, obviously the regime has earned it, but with Green, I do think you're going to check off another box where I don't think they're going to re-sign both Ward and Lenore. So they drafted him in the second round. You'd hope so, with the anticipation that he's another starter in 2025. So that's two. But I look at that pick. I think that's the most polarizing pick. And I know a lot of people who are very smart really like him. So, again, I'm not saying I watched all this film. And just from what I've read and the people that – and watched and the people that were taken before him – that's a name to circle because that could be the pick in this draft where you look back in 5 years and you'd be like, what was going on there?
Well, and when it, you know, when you factor in again, the consensus big board, it's also the biggest reach when it comes to the consensus big board, where he was selected at 64 and consensus big board had him at 110. But here's one thing that I saw Football Insight at @fball_ins tweeted this out March 27th. So again, pre-draft, pre-whatever. Mm-hmm. It was yards per coverage snap allowed of the round, the cornerbacks that were drafted in the first two rounds. And so it's charted on the x-axis, the horizontal axis is yards per coverage snap allowed in zone coverage, and yards per snap allowed in man coverage. And so the way that it's broken into four quadrants, the better players are in the top right quadrant, the worst players are in the bottom left quadrant. And when it comes to those players, the corners that were drafted in the within the first two rounds that are in that upper right corner are Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Kamari Lassiter, Nate Wiggins, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Jerrion Jones, Cam Hart is like right on the border. He's actually on a line. And Kyree Jackson from Oregon. The other guy that's in there is Renardo Green. Renardo Green allowed less than 0.8 yards per coverage snap allowed in zone coverage and less than 0.8 yards per coverage snap allowed in man coverage. So he was consistent across zone and man. In fact, he, when you look at it visually, he was better than Wiggins, McKinstry, Jerrion Jones. He was better in zone coverage than Quinyon Mitchell, better in zone coverage than Cooper DeJean, better in zone coverage than Kamari Lassiter. Those guys were better in man coverage than Renardo Green. But he is a press man corner. Like, that is his specialty. And the other thing is, he absolutely put Malik Nabers in hell when he played Malik Nabers in week one. In fact, Malik Nabers' numbers when covered by Renardo Green were 2 catches for 6 yards. That was it. So absolutely shut Malik Nabers down, who went 6 overall to the Giants. So, you know, his technique does need to get better because he will get called for some holding penalties and some, mm-hmm. some PI penalties. But I think he's not ideal size, right? He's like 5'11", which is also interesting to me because this team used to pretty much not even look at corners that were under 6 feet tall. You know, it was that whole Seattle model, right? Where you want tall corners for press man specifically, but also in zone coverage. And so they've kind of moved away from that. But I think you could argue it's a reach pick, but again, once they pick at 64, they're not picking again until 94. Theoretically, based on the consensus big board, Green should have been there. But again, you can't guarantee that. And you can't guarantee that you can trade up, right? You can't guarantee any of that. And so again, if he is the highest player on your board, and that's where then, and I think that's what I feel like happened in this draft, is that the 49ers were comfortable taking best player available. Regardless of what we fans think, like, you need a tackle, you need this, you need that, you need whatever. They're like, we're going to take, because we filled our roster already, we've got starters at every position that we're comfortable with. We're taking best player available. And they did that. And I think, you know, you got to salute them for that.
Yeah. And this looks like, again, if everything goes the way they expect it to, that he's going to be starting in 2025. So that's two starters, say first two picks.
Yep.
So far, so good in terms of what, you know, what we're thinking here. And then in round three, they traded up for Dominic Pooney, right? To 86.
They did.
Which I really like this pick. So
yes.
You spent 2 years at Kansas, and he is a versatile O-lineman. He played tackle there, but he projects inside. They announced him as a guard. Mm-hmm. He plays center too, which is, you know, again, we'll see where the Niners end up taking him. But another theme with the O-lineman they took, this guy is a good run blocker. But he's a terrific pass blocker. He didn't give up a sack in 2 years. At Kansas. Yep. So again,
that left tackle. Pick,
yeah. Yep. Which is, I mean, how impressive is that? So yeah. I love the pick as you're trying to fortify, like you said, Brock Purdy, right? This is another build around Purdy pick. If you can move him inside, you'll get this mountain of a guy inside. Nice. Can run block, pass block. You're building around Purdy. You're strengthening the middle. I really, really like this pick. I like that he's versatile. Thought it was a very good align pick. Where I was like, with the corner pick, I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know. You know, we'll see. I was like, yes, good job here. I really thought it was a solid pick for the Niners.
Yeah, and I saw footage of him from the Senior Bowl in one-on-one reps with Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle that the Seahawks selected at pick 16. Absolutely owned him. Absolutely owned Byron Murphy. And Byron Murphy is an excellent player. And then not only that, but one of the things the 49ers drafted Dominic Pooney in the third round. They drafted Jarrett Kingston in the sixth round. And then they brought in Drake Nugent, the center from Michigan, as an undrafted free agent. All of them, all three of them, hit the elusive 4.47 or less in the short shuttle, right? So they are their agility grades
agile
are elite.
Dudes.
Agile dudes. In fact, Jarrett Kingston, his relative athletic score, again, the guard out of USC that they drafted in the sixth round, his relative athletic score is 9.92. which is 13th out of 1,583 guards from 1987 to 2024. So he's an elite athlete at the position. Pooney is an 8.16, which is still high, still good. 292 out of 1,583. So again, still top, you know, top 25%. A little bit better than that. But the other thing that I thought was interesting with Pooney is that we know what they look for in offensive linemen, and it's versatility. And like you said, he has five position versatility. He never played center, but people think that he could play there. And to me, like you said, they went Renardo Green, right? And with their first two picks, it feels like they addressed what they feel like is the two things that cost them in the Super Bowl. And that is separation and coverage, right? And so they get a separator and they get a corner, right, to beef up their coverage units. And then it's like on offense, like I said, it's it's building with Brock Purdy in mind. And I think that's why they drafted two guards. And we've talked about it before. Do you take the Saints approach with Drew Brees and fortify the middle for your short quarterback? It certainly seems like they think that's the right thing to do, because you've got Pooney and you've got Kingston, but then you've also got Feliciano you brought back, and you've got Aaron Banks. And so these are probably replacements for one or both of those guys, depending on whether they want to pay Banks or not. But Pooney also has a mean streak, but you can see him. There's film of him and the way that he gets to the second level and just punishes dudes. I guarantee Kyle Shanahan loved it. So yeah, another pick that I thought was awesome. They picked him at 86. Consensus big board was 78. So that's a value there.
Yeah,
for them. So yeah.
Yeah. And looks like, again, somebody else has checked that starter box, right? We expect him in 2025 that he's at least probably one of the good two guards. So again, yeah, I like,
and possibly, yeah, and possibly push McKivitz if that's what they want to try, right? You know, there is that possibility. Whether or not they put him at tackle, we don't know, but there is that possibility, you know, because all you want is your five best out there. So,
right.
You know.
Right. See where people project, see what they look like when they get out there.
Yep.
So this is another pick that I really liked. And I don't, I'm not saying Malik Mustafa is going to end up being Troy Polamalu or anything like that, but
right.
The Niners, I think, are going to have a lot of three safety looks this year. They just right now with the way, if Greenlaw is not healthy, I can see that happening. Or even if they want to ease him back, maybe he's a guy that can help with that. He plays close to the line of scrimmage. Also the floor with him is just a really good special teams player. Like, of course, special teams do.
Right.
He could end up being a really, really good special teams
player. George Odom.
I was just going to say, so if you drafted another George Odom in the fourth round, it's a good pick. You have a core special teams guy, somebody who could be a backup safety, and we'll see in time if he's somebody that can replace Hufanga. You know, again, you don't know until these guys get out there, but who knows? But I liked, they've had interest in a safety. I liked that this guy, even if he's not somebody who can replace Hufanga, boom, you got a special teamer. I thought it was another good pick. You know, he's a hard hitter. You know, type of mentality that's going to fit right in with the Niners in this defense. I thought it was another really solid pick for him, you know, a mid-round type guy.
Yeah, and he just flies around the field. I love it. You watch film, you watch any clips of him, and he is just sideline to sideline, and just when he can come downhill, he is punishing. He's punishing players as he tackles them. And not only that, again, like I said, I was watching Guy Haberman's solo podcast, and he had on somebody who covered the Demon Deacons, and one of the things he said is, regardless of the athletic profile, which is still nice, again, relative athletic score of 9.39, just 68th out of 1,093 free safeties, so again, an athletic kid, but regardless of the athletic profile, just a like teach tape when it comes to tackling, and it does not miss tackles. So again, something that I think this team hurt this team last year,
100%
missed tackles. And so again, addressing a shortcoming of this team, with these draft picks. And you talked about floors, right? That was the other theme that I thought about this draft class was, it may not be a draft class with like sky high ceiling, but it's a draft class with a really high floor. Like all these players have a really high floor, right? They're starting out at a competent level, and they might not ascend a superstar level. I think Purcell could. I think Mustafa could. I think Garendo, who we'll talk about in a little bit, could, right? But for the most part, the floor is high enough where, again, you're getting players that are not just depth pieces for the future, but depth pieces for now. And that's one of the things that I loved about it. And Mustafa is just that, because again, we don't know. We have no idea what is going to happen with Talanoa Hufanga. You know, we've talked about it before. He was limited athletically coming in, which is why he was a fifth round pick. And then he tore his ACL. And it's like, I mean, I don't know that they anticipate him being a contributor at all based on that fear alone. And so you've got Jair Brown, you've got Malik Mustafa, you've got Taylor Hawkins, you've got George Odom. I still think they could bring Justin Simmons in. He's out there. You know, I don't think Talanoa Hufanga should keep you from bringing Simmons in if, if it works for you, especially with the financials. But another pick. And again, picked him at 124. His consensus big board, 124. So right on the money.
Right on the money there.
Yep.
And then, so the running back picks always have to worry you because of what we've seen with Trey Sermon and with TDP and yes. with Joe Williams. In this running back, it was probably the worst kept secret in the world that the Niners really liked him, because Tony Pauline tweeted it out and then deleted it, which tells you that the Niners were probably like, get that shit off social media right now because we like this guy. You
they traded up to get him.
Like the Cowboys with Jonathan Brooks, right? Or whatever running back's name is. Like Jerry Jones, like, oh my God, love him so much. Yeah. And then they end up losing out on. But they trade picks 173 and 176 to move up to get this running back, Isaac Bruno. Dude runs a 4.33, right? I'm just fast.
At 221 pounds.
You think like a Raheem Mostert, right? That's kind of what came to mind.
But bigger.
And 6.1 yards per carry last year. I don't know if I said that or not.
Yeah.
But it was only really 1 year of production for him. So he really only had the one good year.
Battled injuries.
Is that what kind of held him back? Yeah, but, the injuries?
Yeah. So he was initially at Wisconsin, battled injuries for 3 years at Wisconsin, and then transferred to Louisville.
So we'll see. The Niners have a really good number two running back now who battles injuries. We'll see if he's somebody that can come in. Odds are probably drafted free agent will be better because that's just the way the Niners roll. They draft somebody and end up playing Matt Breida or Jordan Mason or somebody. But we'll see. Again, it's exciting when you get somebody that fast with Kyle. They obviously see something in him. They obviously carved out a role for him, or think they're going to be able to carve out a role for him. He's obviously, unless he ends up going the Joe Williams way, I mean, we've seen it before, but it looks like he's going to have a role on this team. You don't trade up for a running back to not have him make the team unless he's a complete disaster. So either Mitchell or Mason, probably not going to be around, but this guy looks like he's going to be RB2. I don't know if he'll ever be a starter. We'll see.
Yeah.
Again, if McCaffrey really only has 1 year left, but he could at least think they need to take some of, they need to give McCaffrey a little bit of a rest here during the season, a little bit more, keep him ready for later. So if this is somebody that can come in and you're comfortable giving him 5 to 6 touches a game, I think you can go ahead and do that. But you know, the running backs, again, I got to see it, man. But, we'll see how it goes. It is exciting though, that they found somebody that fast that they like.
And in 2024, I think where he carves out his role is as kick returner. You know, we talked about kick returns are back, right? With these new rules, there are going to be games that are swung by kick returns.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so you've got Isaac Grendo now, 4.33. You've got Jacob Cowing, right? We kind of passed over him. We talked about him a little bit. He was their other fourth round pick. Wide receiver out of Arizona. But you've got Grendo and Cowing and Pearsall, who could return kicks. And then you've also got Debo, who could be an absolute weapon in kick return. So I think is a theme of this with Pearsall, Green, Mustafa, Grendo, Cowing. You've also upgraded your special teams, your coverage units, and your return units. And I think that's another important aspect of this draft to take a look at is, you know, overall picture. You've also gotten better on special teams, which is important.
What happened in the Super Bowl with special teams? Did that work out okay? It did not. I think that was on Kyle's mind.
I'm sure.
Sounds like it was, right?
Yeah.
You know, the things that happened in that game, you know, some of the stuff with the interior, with the receivers not separating, with the shit show that was special teams, and there really were some shit show things there. Again, it was a negative 8 points for them on special teams. It was like they were like, okay, you know, some of those things were like, we know what our weaknesses are, and they went right out and attacked those weaknesses. So I respect that. Even though you're pissing off or maybe walking away for some really big names that got you really close, saying, well, this is where we think we can get better, even though we do have some of these big names. So that's not always easy to take that step, but it looks like they're doing that. So, and then you mentioned the next pick, another wide receiver, Jacob Cowing, another dude who can separate, right? That's the theme that we have with them. You mentioned what he could bring to on special teams. This was another pick that I really, really liked. He is a smaller guy, but he's somebody that he's similar to what they got with Pearsall. Says he's got the speed to get up on top of people and threaten you with a go route. He's got quickness inside. He's shifty. Taylor Gabriel, maybe, right?
He's just teeny. He's just teeny. A little bit. That's it. Yeah. 5'8".
So
yeah.
So it's like, you know, somebody else that Kyle can use as a weapon. I don't think he's going to be an Ayuk or a Purcell where he's catching 7 or 8 balls a game, but maybe that Taylor Gabriel role that they had in with Falcons. So another good pick, another support Purdy pick that I liked, and somebody who I think could definitely carve out a role on this team. I don't know how much playing it this year other than maybe special teams, but
yeah.
In 2025, he's somebody who's going to be a little bit more involved in the offense.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, when it comes to these wide receivers, right, they drafted Pearsall, they drafted Cowing, and they also brought in as an undrafted free agent, they brought Terrell Owens' kid, Tariq, in.
Yeah.
I think the players that need to be on alert about their roster spot are Ronnie Bell and Danny Gray. I don't even need to see Danny Gray's not going to be on this team. We don't really need to talk about it. But I think Ronnie Bell is going to be fighting for a roster spot, and Chris Conley as well, who they brought back, who did well in the Super Bowl. But again, when you bring in three rookies, you know, they're, you got to figure that out. But the other thing that I think is interesting about all of these draft picks, and again, the last theme that I saw outside of Isaac Garendo, who battled injuries early in his career, later in his career, you know, he played full seasons with Louisville. They're very, very, very durable players who haven't missed any time. No time. I don't think Pearsall's ever missed a game. Green's never missed a game. Pooney's never missed a game. Mustafa's never missed a game. Cowing's never missed a game. Grendo early in his career did. And I don't think Kingston did either. So, again, another theme that goes with what the 49ers have struggled with, right? They have wide receivers who have missed games, one wide receiver in particular, right? And the other thing that Pearsall and Cowing have in common is, like I said, Pearsall is 6'1". He's not small, but he's not 6'3", 6'4", right? Cowing, like I said, is 5'8". Neither one of them have any fear whatsoever about going over the middle, and I love it. And that's another very important aspect of playing wide receiver
in this offense,
for the 49ers. Yeah. You have to go over the middle, and you can't be afraid to go over the middle. And these dudes aren't. They are fully prepared to go over the middle and live over the middle. And again, I think that's one way that they will stick on this team.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we talked about Kingston earlier. He was their 6th-round pick. And again, another pick that we like. He's a versatile, he's a good pass blocker. He's a versatile lineman. Brian talked about him earlier. And then the 7th-round pick, Tatum Bethune, Florida State. Linebacker who's good in pass coverage, which is right now, again, what they need. Because without Greenlaw, they need linebackers off of pass coverage. I don't want to hear about the two guys they drafted last year. You know, it's not like they're anybody you think are going to come in. And maybe they will again. Who knows? But I feel like that second linebacker spot right now without Greenlaw, because what's his name from Green Bay? Campbell, good run stopper, not good in pass coverage. So that's where we're thinking the third safety comes in, or maybe who knows, one of these other linebackers could step in or whatever. But you know, we'll see. But that's good for, you know, again, 7th-round pick. Sometimes 7th-round picks end up being your franchise QB. Very rarely, but I don't think Tatum Bethune is going to end up being Greenlaw or Warner. So I don't want to gloss over anything because, you know, I mean, we cover a team that has freaking Brock Purdy, so you can never gloss over a 7th-round pick. But
totally. And I don't feel like we are. It's just, you know, he's a 7th-round running back. He's there for a reason. But his strength is coverage. And I think that is a key to kind of key in on. Yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to say you mentioned the three undrafted free agents. You talked about Drake Nugent earlier. Mm-hmm. He was one of the guys I circled. I like him, the Michigan center. Uh-huh. Tariq Owens, just because his TO's kid. And the other one was Cody Schrader, the running back, who's actually 8th in the Heisman Trophy voting, which I had no idea.
1,600 yards in the SEC as a 5'8 running back who's not fast. It's wild.
Crazy. Yeah. So he's a guy, again, like they traded up for Grendo. If you told me Schrader was a backup running back, I wouldn't be surprised. The way things happen with this team, we're not surprised at all. But that's another name that I circled. Like, Yeah, I can't wait to see this guy. Maybe we will have two new running backs behind McCaffrey this year.
Well, and one thing that because I looked up Cody Schrader, because I'm like, who's this guy? Like, what is he? So he was Dane Brugler's 14th ranked running back. He had him with a fifth or sixth round grade. 5'8", 202, 4'6", 40. Just not an elite athlete in the slightest. But one of the things that he does have is elite vision, which is what you need in an outside zone scheme. So I think that he could find a role. It would be, to me, it's similar to like Jeff Wilson, right? Where he's not the size of Jeff Wilson, but he's going to get you those gritty yards that you need. Mm-hmm. Because right now they don't have anybody to do that, right? That's not necessarily Elijah Mitchell. I mean, he's big enough, but he's fragile. Guerrero again is a speed guy. Jordan Mason. But what Schrader and Guerrero have in common is they are good pass protectors, and that is where Jordan Mason just hasn't gotten there, and that's why he doesn't see the field. I would love to see him on the field more, right? He runs with authority, but if you can't pass protect, then you can't be out there. And so that's where I think Guerrero and Schrader have the inside edge on Jordan Mason. And then again, it's Guerrero competing to see if Mitchell stays on the roster or not. The other undrafted free agent that they brought in, and I think it's important to highlight because they gave him $280,000, which tells me that they very much are they anticipate him making the team, is Evan Anderson, the D tackle from I think it's Florida Atlantic. He is 6'1", 320, kind of a nose tackle, but a run stuffer.
Which is a huge need for them.
A huge need. And so when you look at the eight players they drafted and then the undrafted free agents that they brought in, we talked a lot about leading up to the draft. Pay attention to top 30 visits. Dominic Pooney came in on a top 30 visit. Jacob Cowing came in on top 30 visit. Tatum Bethune came in on a top 30 visit. Evan Anderson, the undrafted free agent that they signed, came in on a top 30 visit. So three of the eight players they drafted, and then one of the players that they brought in as an undrafted free agent, all came in on top 30 visits. Again, this team will draft from players that they bring in. What I thought was interesting, though, is Renardo Green is not a guy that they brought in. Kingsley Suamatia is, and they still didn't draft Suamatia, and they drafted Renardo Green. So I thought that was interesting.
So there's three concerns I still have after this draft. And I know you can't address everything in a single draft, but three things stick out to me right now. One is the tackle position. And the reason for that is because Trent Williams is getting older. And again, one of my worries about this team this year is regression, just because it happens. People get older. I mean, Trent Williams is going to the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best left tackles ever. He's still going to be 36, right? He's still, even if he plays great this year, is he going to be around the year after? We don't know. As they get older, does he get hurt more? Is there even, I mean, a little regression for him. He's still a great player, but the age with him, just as far as how much longer he's going to be around. And then McKivitz, younger guy, but he wasn't great last year. So those tackle positions, the future of that does worry me. Now the Niners may be in just like, listen, we'll worry about that next year mode, which I'm sure they can obtain tackles next year if they need to, one way or another. For this year, two things so I think they can get by with their tackles this year. Two things that I am worried about other than that. First, you mentioned they signed the run stuffer as an undrafted free agent. That's great, because I am still really worried about their run defense.
Yeah.
Javon Hargrave, again, I think he is a regression player who is not a good run defender anyway. Malik Collins is, I really like that pickup, but he's more of a pass rusher. And people can tweet out as many stats about Jordan Elliott as they want to. The Browns fans would have driven him to the airport. They couldn't wait for him to leave.
Right.
So I'm not really excited about how that's going to go either in terms of stopping the run. So I'm pretty worried about that teams are going to say, all right, you can pass rush us. Your secondary is improved. We're just going to run the ball down your throats. That concerns me. The other thing is, maybe it's less of a concern because you have all these receivers now. If he did go down, you could deal as much as he helps in the blocking of everything, is that you got nobody behind George Kittle, right? So you're putting a lot on George to stay healthy at 31. If you lose him, there's really nobody else by, you know, unless when Shanahan was asked about Latu, he did not seem like he was very thrilled with him. Talking about
he did not
on the field. And yeah, so yeah. I don't even think that guy's going to break camp with the Niners unless he, you know, really has an amazing turnaround. But so that's the other thing. Tight end, I was like, you got to take one. And they didn't. Yeah. So again, I don't know what's going on there, but you still have one of the best tight ends in the league in Kittle. So that's not like, you know, they'll be fine. Again, tackles, they'll be fine. They'll be fine this year. I'm more worried about next year. So I guess the biggest worry out of the three things that I'm worried about is defensive tackle and being able to stop the run. Because right now, undrafted free agent aside, it may be great. Make him in and be a DJ Jones type thing. Mm-hmm. If DJ Jones was drafted in the sixth round or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to have problems there. And I don't think they have anybody to really stop the run. So that does worry me a little bit. That and then the regression aspect of everything, which nobody's talking about. But
yeah. Yeah, to me, you know, to me, the biggest concern is still tight end. I've been screaming for this team to bring in a competent tight end who feels like for 5 years now. And it just doesn't seem to be something that they find to be important. And I don't get it. They did bring in a tight end as an undrafted free agent. I am not remembering his name right now. And he came from a school that's, you know, again, not a power five school. But you know, there's really nothing outside of George Kittle. And that concerns me because if Kittle goes down, yikes, because there's nothing there. There are some tight ends that are still available via free agency. Robert Tonyan is one. There's a couple others. I can't remember their names right now off the top of my head, but, I am concerned about tight end too. Outside of that, like you said, I agree that stopping the run is something that concerns me, not only because they were exposed in the playoffs and late in the season. I remember that Cardinals game where the Cardinals just ran all over the 49ers mm-hmm. 2 weeks before the playoffs started. Also, Brandon Staley's defenses aren't good at stopping the run. So that's the other thing that concerns me a little bit. So,
yeah, and you know, Detroit, yeah. The Rams, these are teams in your conference now that can really run the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. The Rams beefed up the middle of their line. They're running gap. They're running gap scheme all day long. Like they don't, you know, that's what they, you know, they have Kyron Williams and they drafted a running back.
And Blake Corum.
Blake Corum. That's who it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to be really good again this year if Stafford stays healthy.
Yeah. The other thing that, I guess I'm not concerned. You know, we talk about right tackle. We talk about the kind of pressure that Colton McKivitz gave up. The one thing we have to remember is that every team is putting their best pass rusher on Colton McKivitz because the alternative is putting him on Trent Williams. So it's a little bit like he's literally getting every team's best pass rusher. And so, you know, obviously you want somebody there that could neutralize that and McKivitz can't, but I still feel like he at least held his own mm-hmm. because again, he's going against the other team's best. So, you know, they're confident in their offensive line and it'll be interesting to see if Pooney gets any opportunity to play at right tackle. Or if, you know, right guard is really where they put him and then he just competes with Feliciano. I don't know. But I am less concerned about the offensive line simply because I think Pooney is an upgrade at right guard, or at the very least Feliciano, if he can play the whole season, is an upgrade at right guard over what was going on last season, which was like a hybrid Spencer Burford, right? Like if Spencer Burford is not on this team anymore, I'm not going to shed a tear. I don't think that he has what it takes. But we got to remember this is an offensive line that got them to the Super Bowl. Now, part of why they lost the Super Bowl is because of a blown assignment. But again, that was Spencer Burford. And that was because Feliciano got hurt. But if it's good enough to get him to the Super Bowl, then, you know, odds are it's good enough to win them a Super Bowl if some of the other things are different, you know, all things considered. So, yeah, to me, like I said, the biggest concern is tight end two. They really don't have one. You can't really do any two tight end sets because there isn't anybody on the team right now that is going to catch a pass at that position outside of George Kittle. So that's my biggest
Willis.
That's, yeah.
Sauber, Eric Sauber, yeah. On this team.
Yeah, that's my biggest concern. And it'll be interesting to see if they do anything to address it with free agency now that we are in the second tier of free agency, which means any free agents that they're signing don't count against the comp pick formula. So they might dip their toe back in if they feel like, you know, maybe they did want to go into the draft looking for tight end two and it just didn't fall their way. And so now they go, all right, well, let's bring in, you know, an outside free agent or something. We'll see.
We will see, Brian, because I'll tell you what, we got 3 months before camp starts.
Yes.
And not a lot happening. This is the dead time for the NFL. As exciting as the draft is, I mean, we got the schedule. I guess we can pretend that's really, really exciting. and then, yeah, just a whole lot of nothing for the next like 2.5-3 months. But we're still going to be here, and we're still going to cast on, and we're still going to talk about the Niners, and we're still going to find shit to argue about and worry about. You know, I'm going to find something to worry about every week. I'm going to talk about it, and people can tell me I worry too much, but I'm still going to do it. So we'll be here with you guys through the offseason. The season can't get here soon enough again. I already feel like first football. But, yeah, man.
That's it.
That's all I got. You got anything else? That's it for me.
That's it. It's on to the dead season, and we'll see what that entails for us. But it's going to be a long 3 months, but we'll get through it together.
Please still listen to us. Thanks.
Later.
Niners on three. 1, 2, 3.
Niners! 2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.